We will continue here.
And are you refreshed?
You bet.
Good. And are you ready to continue our powerful discussion on sexuality?
Can we just start it all over again? Since this
Indeed. This is the tape.
The point I'd like to make is that in some years ago, as I was visiting with a group of friends of mine, psychiatrists and psychologists in Spokane area, Washington, and we were at a mental hospital there, and they commented that, the exact words I don't recall, but the point was the majority of the people that were incarcerated there were there as a result of their confusion about either religion or sex.
Regarding their confusion or their behavior?
Well, I read it as confusion. It was probably behavior got them put in there. But then the other thing that I wanted to add to that is I've noticed through the years that for some reason in our country, when people are really angry or really violent or really trying to hurt someone's feelings, they use the words that are related to sex as curse words and violent words and words of threat and words of anger. And so anytime somebody's really feeling terrible, they use some sexual word in the derogatory state of mind to get their point across that they are really, really miserable and they really hate someone or they really like to destroy someone. Also, I noticed in our culture...
It is because they are in that moment focused upon lack, and so they take the subject that is of great importance and look at the side of lack about it.
I knew you'd say that. The other thing that I'm extremely aware of is that in our culture, it's quite proper to show on television maiming and crippling and gore and all anything horrible and terrible to me as far as destroying the human body, but it is very inappropriate to show the pleasure in the human body, the sexual end of it. And I've never understood that contrast, why the culture has developed to where it can stand hate and anger and pain and can't stand pleasure. Can you explain that one? Okay, I'm through.
We would encourage you to remember that what you are shown upon your television is not a clear representation even of what the mass consciousness is experiencing or is wanting. But there is a very strong attraction to negative because negative is a very powerful emotion. And as physical creatures, there is an awareness within you that you are powerful, although most of you have not discovered your personal power. And so when you are not knowing your power, to find something that is negative, you are feeling your power. When you get swept up in that negative emotion, you feel the power of it. There is a very strong momentum, you see. The process of pivoting, as in our discussion last evening, can bring you from that high peak of negative power to a very high peak of positive power. And so we are not so concerned that the society is showing a sort of imbalance. What we would really like all of you to understand is that you are individuals. We would like to help you to remember that if you are waiting around for your society to get straightened out before you have a happy life experience, you will have a very long wait. If you are waiting for anybody else in your experience to get straightened around before you have a happy experience, you will have a very long wait. You are not here to discover that which is perfect. You are here to create or to attract that which is perfect, you see. So it is only a matter of your identifying what you are wanting, focusing upon it, and then attracting it unto you. Let us throw it open for discussion, and we will wedge back into the cracks all of the important points. For there are many who are stimulated, who are wanting to speak. We'll come here and then there.
Where I'm stuck a little is on the whole issue of monogamy. That's the way I've been raised as value. And for many years I assumed that that's my value. And one of the things I noticed is a lot of pain and fear associated with it. First of all, you have to find another person who wants the same thing. Then you have to control their wanting, which is not fun by itself. And I also try recently...
Stop right there for just a moment and remember what you're going to say further. But that what you have stated And we know that there is strong belief behind your words, but what you've stated is what is at the heart of most relationships that either never come into being or that aren't good once they do come into being. The idea that you must find another who wants exactly what you want, and if they don't, then you must begin to manipulate or control their wanting. That is not the way to go about co-creating in any way that would bring you any sort of joy. What you are wanting to do is focus so clearly upon what you are wanting that you are a magnet that attracts it. Now let's talk about how to go about that. Any time that you are thinking about something that you want, by law, it must come unto you. It can be no other way. But you are so impatient as physical creatures. If it is not here immediately, then you assume that it is not coming or that it is lost. And so then you begin looking at the lack side of it, you see. Well, any time you are looking at the lack of what you are wanting, you are sabotaging what you are wanting. And so the only reason that what you want is not coming is because you are sabotaging it with your thoughts of lack about it, you see. If you could just stay focused upon what you are wanting would come into your experience. Now, it would be very nice. You may not think so, and let us carry it forth. But it would be very nice if everyone in this room was currently... let us say you have just emerged into the physical. You're just bigger than most who emerge. Bigger, and you have a clearer recollection of physical experience. You've been chewing upon the data, and so you are, as you are now, knowing pretty much what you are wanting. But you are currently unattached to anyone. You are currently in the mode now of attracting what you are wanting. Now, that sounds pretty good to many of you because you don't have some mess that you're now trying to clean up. In other words, you don't have some relationship that isn't working that you're struggling against. You're in a position of purely now attracting the perfect relationship. What we are wanting you to understand is that you are all in that position anyway. Even if you are in the midst of a relationship that doesn't seem as if it is the way you are wanting it to be, or if the relationship is absolutely absent, all you have to do is give your attention to what you are wanting, and it will come into your experience. It is truly as simple as no longer giving your attention to the lack of these things, you see. We just wanted to reinforce that you cannot ever control the wanting of another. In your control, the way you go about it is backwards. That is the way you control is by seeing something that is wrong and then trying to whip the behavior or manipulate the behavior from process of negative responses more into what you are wanting. And it never works. It always just brings you more of what you do not want. While as you are looking at the positive aspects of this relationship or even looking at positive aspects of other relationships, you will attract that into your experience. Continue.
I'm not sure what was... so you said already that there's no right or wrong. But by our very nature, were we designed to have only one relationship for our lifetime, or is this a natural wanting, or this is something that is imposed upon us? Or
by your nature, you have intended to come forth and interact with many on many different subjects. And whether you choose the subject of sexuality to be something that you experience with one and only one, or whether it is something that you are wanting to experience with more than one or with many, is absolutely an individual thing. Your ideas about it are continually changing. What happens is that there is within you a knowing. Sometimes it is far beneath your conscious awareness. There is a knowing that you are here to co-create with others. And there is a wanting to interact with others on a number of different levels, you see. And that's why you are seeking many. The way your society is established, and many societies throughout your world, stating that monogamy or being with only one other is the proper way to live, is a very hindering and very smothering experience for you, because you superimpose the area of sexuality or intimacy over all areas, to the point that there are some that cannot stand it if their mate even talks to another, or if their mate interacts or even has a good time doing anything other than what they are doing with them, you see. Now, what we are wanting you to understand is that you may choose for yourself, certainly, regarding the subject of sexuality. There are many who could not bear the thought of being with someone who is now wanting to be intimate in a sexual way with someone else, for somehow that is a very great violation of the relationship. if that is the belief that you have held at the time that you attracted the relationship, you would not attract someone to you who wanted something other than what you want to begin with. In other words, but if you are focused upon the lack of that, if you are worried about your partner wanting to go and be with many others, then it is possible that you would attract the very one who is wanting to be with others. And so, just like everything else in your experience, you've attracted exactly the opposite of what you are wanting. But then your religionists or your laws of society say, you must stay with this one anyway. Even though you have attracted that and you are feeling tremendous lack, still you must stay here. And what we are saying is, what you must do is do that which is satisfying unto you. If you are feeling tremendous pain where you are, then we would encourage that you go somewhere else, or that you give your attention to that which does not bring you so much pain, so that the aspects of pain can leave your relationship. If you are wanting us to say, monogamy is the best way, we will not. If you are wanting us to say, having many partners, sexual or otherwise, we will not, because it is absolutely individual choices. But we will say to you that there is not a God in the heaven that is condemning you under any condition. That your heaven or your hell that you are earning or reaping is coming to you in the moment of the emotion. There is no greater hell than the emotion of guilt regarding something that you have done. Anytime you are focused upon lack and you are feeling terrible about what you have done, it is because you have violated your own beliefs, not some rules that have been written in the heaven. You have violated something that is important to you, you see. By making the decision that you will look for what you are wanting to see, and that you will bring yourself always to the place of feeling good, that is the way that you find your balance. And you really get to the place that you are able to say, so what, to what anyone else is defining about it. Good. There is another. Here. You.
It sounds to me as if the ideal situation would be to, you know, to be able to be selfish in looking for that which makes you happy, and harmless in that doing that which does not hurt others. But it would also be nice to live in a four-dimensional world, to experience another dimension or two and see what that feels like. But we are humans, and we are here interacting in a three-dimensional world, and we are here interacting in a world where there are many others, where there are rules, and there are mores, and there are moral standards that you know that we have to live within. People who go
truly
around trying to fulfill their own happiness and do what makes them feel good can be considered perverse in other people's minds. If you want to go around and hurt people or kill people because that makes you feel good, or you want to have sex with animals because that makes you feel good, is that okay to do then if it makes you feel good? The animal doesn't have much of a say in the matter.
It is difficult for you, from your position, to understand truly what makes anybody else feel good. We are in agreement with you that much of the time what you are seeing is another focused upon lack. In other words, it is out of the lack of what they are wanting that they are seeking the animals. It is out of the lack of what they are truly wanting. It is out of the identification of what is wanted, but a predominant life are focused upon the lack of it that causes that sort of behavior.
How do you know that? How do you know that that person doesn't just like to do it with animals? That's what he wants.
Are you saying to us that you believe that there are victims, that there are those that are so much focused upon what they are wanting that they are able to defy the laws of the universe and actually suck someone into their experience without their allowance or without their part in the co-creating? It is the way most physical beings look at it, and it is the way from which you have offered your question. But the reason that we know that, in answer to your question, how do you know that, is because we know the laws of the universe. And we know that it is not possible for someone to be a co-creation in something that you might consider good or bad without their invitation through thought. Now, we will agree that there are many of you that are up to your ears in a tar baby when you are not wanting to be, but we will not agree that it is not without your continual choice about it, you see. Now, you are, as you begin talking about the animals, or a big question is as you are talking about the children, you say, what part do they play within it? And what we are wanting to say to you, and we said it earlier, is that so much is made of the subject that you have decided to make things that are really not terrible, terrible, that you have tried to make subjects that are not nearly as negative as you make them to be appear more negative by your exaggeration about it. To the point where there are all sorts of fairy tales that are offered. Most of you will never have the opportunity to meet anyone that is experiencing that sort of extreme behavior. And yet all of you hear the stories about it because the negative stories abound. And the negative stories are part of the perpetuation in the process of that sort of negative experience. Because as you as physical creatures come into the world begins to warn you. They begin to tell you, you must put up your guard against this and against this and against this. And in the very putting up your guard is your way of inviting into it, you see. We're not saying that there are those who are getting what they don't want and aren't knowing how they're getting what they don't want. But we will not agree that they are not full participants by virtue of the laws of attraction that abound. And that is really the reason that all of us are here. You and all of us from the non-physical, to help people to understand how it is that they're getting what they're getting.
So a person who derives his particular pleasure or what makes him feel good by going against the mores of society and thereby bringing down the rejection of people around them or the incarceration into the prison systems because of the way, because they
do you think that someone who has cancer is enjoying it?
No.
Do you believe that they have attracted it by their wanting, or do you think that that they wanted health but that they were warned against the opposite, and that through a life experience they gave more attention to the lack of what they wanted and so they attracted the negative side of it? And in like manner, can you really say that the one that is experiencing what you are describing to us as extreme sexual deviant behavior, can you really know that they are in the place of enjoying that?
No, I see your point then.
You cannot know what another is experiencing. All you can do is evaluate behavior, and from your position of judgment, you can say that behavior by my standards is either good or bad. And what we are wanting to assist you in doing is getting out of that arena altogether, because it will drive you crazy. You cannot know the combination of beliefs or intentions that anybody else holds anyway. You cannot feel the emotion that is within them. And so you cannot know whether they are... You see, there are many. When we see someone that is experiencing what you call extreme negative behavior, and so you are assuming in this case that because it is the subject of sexuality that has been twisted and thwarted in your mind for such a very long time, you assume that this one is really wanting and therefore enjoying and therefore should somehow be stopped from it. And what we would like to do is take you all off the hook by saying, first of all, you cannot know what another is wanting, what another is believing, or whether another is finding pleasure or pain within it. And then get your attention upon what it is you are wanting so that that becomes the experience that you have around you. We said to you last night very emphatically, you are not here to save the world, and more importantly, the world is not here wanting you to save it. You are all here as individual creatures that are attracting unto you the experience that you are attracting. And even the animal that is co-creator in this deviant sexual experience is co-creator in it on some level. And it is our absolute promise to you that that animal is not experiencing the negativity about it that you are. For the most part, the children are not experiencing the negativity about it that you are as you hear about it, until they begin hearing you talking about it and feeling the negativity that is oozing out of you, until they begin to feel that they have done something terribly wrong, you see.
I think the thing that I've gotten the most from the discussions we've had, particularly the one before we started recording, was the fact that we have made such a big deal out of this. We have, and I know I have taken and said there are life experiences and then there is sexuality and sensuality, and made it something separate and different and an entire set of expectations. And what came to mind was an analogy that I've seen in my own experience and heard that revolves around relationships, but it and now I can see and it can extend that to sexuality and sensuality. And this was a man who defined the relationship. His name was Ernie Larson, and he likened it unto a trapeze wire, where the two poles that hold up the wire are the individuals in a relationship, and that the wire between them, the two poles, is the relationship. And just as you have said so many times, that he also said that we go about things backwards. Instead of concentrating on making the pole, our own pole, strong, we spend all our time concentrating on the relationship, which is the wire, or on the other pole. And he said, if you've got a pole that is embedded in sand, you don't have to worry about the relationship. There won't be any. And he said, just like you've been talking about concentrating on yourself, he was saying the same thing. He said, the thing that you need to do is just concentrate, is to work on your own pole. And when I use the word work, I mean, like you've said, give attention to. And that the relationship, the wire between the poles, will take care of themselves, and that you will attract the other pole that will be as strong as your own pole in the relationship. And now I've been able, from what you said, suddenly it clicked that I have taken this belief system and separated it from all other life experiences and called it different, I guess because there's two involved. But in relationship, it's the same thing. Two is involved. And I've been able to do that with relationships. I've been able to see that the way to have a good relationship is not to either work on the other person or work on the relationship, but work, and that is pay attention to my own self and my own growth, and the rest will take care of itself.
When you are understanding, you see, when you think in terms of being creator, then you think of being the orchestrator. You've got to get out there and fix this and fix that and give your attention here and there. But when you think in terms of being the attractor, then all you have to do, as many have said, is get your own house in order. Which really means appreciate yourself, love yourself, approve of yourself. And once you're in that place, then you allow all things that you consider to be good to come unto you, you see. We like that picture very much of making certain that your pole is very strong. That is a very good picture. What more?
I have a couple questions. The first thing was regarding what Jerry started out saying about sex and religion being the causes that sent most people to mental institutions or prisons
Good.
Or whatnot. Being an artist, they also say that all great art is made from sex and religion. All great art is about sex and religion. And for me, it's like what they're saying is it's about the physical and the non-physical experience, and that the ultimate sexual experience for me would be one that includes both of these aspects to their fullest. And when she was talking about monogamy, I realized that, at least from my perspective, the ultimate relationship involves the perfect fusion of creative, psychic, and sexual energy.
Good.
Now, regardless of what society has said I should or shouldn't do in terms of how many or one, my experience has been that it is more powerful, that this fusion of energies is more intense and more delicious with one person. For some reason.
It is true of everything. When you are focused upon a subject, absolutely living in your now, giving your full attention, it always has the potential of being more powerful and more delicious, you see.
Than when it's scattered.
Absolutely.
Okay. Another question.
Now, whether you are doing it... monogamy. The very word is a word that your society has used more of as a club, more as a box. It is more their attention to lack that they are offering it. You see, when you are one that is very clear about what you are wanting, when you have identified very explicitly what you are wanting, and when you have attracted the perfect being into your experience that satisfies all of that, that is the ultimate experience. But if you're not good at that, if you're not good at focusing upon what you want, then maybe you need a little piece from here and a little piece from there, a little bit, if you will excuse the expression. You are getting the point? When you are very good at acknowledging what it is that you are wanting, then you are very pointed and very powerful at always bringing precisely what you are wanting into your experience. And we would say that for the most part, that those who are seeking many sexual experiences are those who still have not defined what it is that they are wanting. They are still collecting data. They are still defining, and there is nothing wrong with that.
Yeah, I mean, in my own mind, I use the term life partner instead of monogamy to describe that.
Life partner for this moment. In other words, for this moment in time. We would not encourage you ever to make any sort of a commitment to another that I will promise you that under any and all conditions that I will be right here. Because that is stepping upon your own freedom to evolve, you see. What would be better stated is to say, as long as we are joyfully and gloriously interacting together, we will remain together. And that is what we seek. And since that is what we seek, that is what we will have. In other words, that is a freer way of having the same thing. The other is looking at the lack. And when you begin looking at the lack, then you are assured of not having it, you see, because then you start smothering one another or manipulating one another.
The other question I have has to do with, if you could explain somewhat what the sexual force actually is. What is it that when we're experiencing whatever we define as the ultimate sexual experience?
You're talking about the physical part of it?
No, the physical and the mental. The reason I ask is, for example, my experience is that when you have, if for me the ultimate sexual experience involves a perfect fusion with another being at this moment in time, that we've co-created communication on all possible levels, a delicious sensual level, spiritual communication, emotional harmony, that for me there's an expansion that happens here.
Anytime,
in some ways it's a lessening of my boundaries. Now, I have a friend who...
It is because you are merging with the other.
Mm-hmm.
It is literally a physical experience of the non-physical merging with another. Can you have that sort of experience in the middle of an argument? Can you have had a day of bickering and fighting and then come into that sort of experience? Can you feel incomplete yourself, or can you find flaws in your other and have that sort of experience that you've been defining? Or is the ultimate sexual experience something that must be prepaved, something that you must anticipate in advance, something that you work upon as you are looking for the good in yourself and the good in the other, until finally you come together, two beings that are absolutely adoring themselves and one another, then you can have that sort of experience,
mm-hmm.
you see.
Mm-hmm.
The sexual experience is much more a psychic attunement than it is a physical attunement. It is much more the stimulation of what you are wanting in terms of thought than it is in terms of what your physical body is asking for.
I mean, my experience has been that a delicious sensual experience is a psychic awakening, that it's a spiritually expanding experience.
We agree.
I have a friend who is very non-physically focused, who's very much in himself, who says that for him it's the opposite. To engage in sexual activity, it's as if he has to become this one small physical personality and don his ego, and that for him it's a sense of losing that sense of a larger self.
In that case, he is having trouble with all aspects of physicalness, isn't he? In other words, it is not just the physical sexual part of it, it is the physical part of it. More attention to the reason that he is in the physical expression to begin with. And now you could still have very satisfying sexual experience. You see, what happens is, as you are participating with him, knowing that he is not enjoying the physicalness of it, if you would focus upon the spiritualness of it, as you would focus upon the union of your thought and the union of your spirit, you could still have the sexual experience whether he had a good time or not. In other words, what is happening with you is you get hung up on the lack. You want him to want just what you want, and that always trips you up. If you could just want what you want and look for the positive aspects, look for what is satisfying what you want instead of picking the one little thing that isn't, even if it is a big thing, and giving your attention to that. You are following?
Mm-hmm.
In the back.
I've been married four times to two different husbands. In each case, we remarried thinking it would work out. It would be better. It was different. It wasn't better. First time I was married 25 years, and I had a year off for good behavior, and then I was married 2 years. To my second husband, I was married 3 years and then 18 months. That one was terminated by his death. But in each case, I see now, from what you're saying about freedom, my desire for freedom was clarifying to the point so much. I was becoming stronger and stronger and stronger in that aspect. As one husband said to me, "You're really just interested in romance." And in a sense, that was true. I thought maybe I'd rather be his mistress than his wife. Because in marriage, we're talking about two different things here. Sensuality, sexuality is one thing. Marriage is another. You've got children, you've got in-laws, you've got property, you've got responsibilities.
It turns out it is not possible to separate anything from anything, though.
That's right.
Because at the core of all of those things is you and the way you feel. And so as you are feeling negative emotion or confusion about one part of your life, it bleeds over into all of the others.
That's right. And so finally, my desire for freedom dominated so much that in each case I left. And so when you're talking about growth, freedom, and joy, it was bringing no real joy. Well, some of it was joyful. It wasn't all like that. But
can you see that looking back, retrospect is always powerful?
Yes.
Can you see that you had opportunities to look for positive aspects, but because you were fixated upon negative aspects, that became your predominant experience?
Yes. But I so disliked the feeling hemmed in and pinned down and having to perform certain duties all the time that I did them, and I think I did them well. What I wanted was to be free and be my own person.
You see, as we hear you talking about your physical experiences, you have lots to do, do you not? There are many things that are asked of you. What is our time?
We have about 15 more minutes.
There are many things that are asked of you. And so many of you, when you begin talking in terms of freedom, really think that what you are seeking is the freedom from doing things, the freedom from responsibility to this and to this and to this and to this. What freedom is the acknowledgement that you may always choose. What freedom is the acknowledgement that you may choose positive aspect or negative aspect and therefore attract it into your experience. Have you noticed that in terms of physical activity, you are as busy now as you've ever been? In other words, you are serving many masters, so to speak.
I'm actually busier.
Serving many masters, and yet you feel freer because you are not now focused upon lack. You are not seeing another as making demands on you that you are not wanting to make. You are making the decisions yourself to do this action, and that is what makes you feel that it is now freedom. You are following?
Mm-hmm.
Under any and all conditions, you can have that experience, no matter how demanding another is, just by choosing to see it as your choice. And even if it is my choice to please this one in this moment, that gives you the feeling of freedom. There have been studies done with little monkeys, and maybe some of them were people. It is hard for us sometimes to tell the difference. Where they were put into rooms, and some of them had buttons of escape to push. When you have had enough, just push this button and it will be enough. And in the other room, they had no button. Well, those that had the button did not push it, but they did not experience the negative trauma simply because they knew they had the option of pushing the button. Turned out the button didn't do anything anyway. The button didn't work. It was just their belief that they had an option, you see. And so what we would like you to acknowledge, and of course you have figured that out, is that you always have the option. Let us hear from you.
But when you have this triad of joy, freedom, and growth, two people are bound to grow, and usually in different directions. So that makes a constant compromise for freedom.
When if you have come together in a forcible way, in other words, if you have made the decision to be together simply because you didn't want to be without someone, in other words, if it is from position of lack that the relationship has been formed to begin with, then we will agree that sometimes it is long and a little bit troublesome to bring yourselves to the harmony. But if you are joy seekers to begin with, then you do not have such a hard work at coming together in harmony once you are together. If there are two of you that are both seeking freedom and growth and joy, you can find perfect union with one another. You see, relationships go wrong or have trouble because you see the negative aspect, you see what you do not want, and you give it too much attention, and so you grow apart. If you could focus, let us say that two of you come together and you have only one interest in common, and let us say it is the interest of sex. Nothing else in your experience do you agree on. You have two different occupations, you have two different sets of friends, you have two different sets of interests. One likes sports, one likes something entirely different, and so in all other nine areas of your life, you are not in harmony, just in the one area. If you would give the majority of your thoughts regarding this other to the one area where you have harmony, your relationship will be powerful and important. But what happens to you because of the way you have been fostered in your environment, you believe that your marriage is a large blanket, or that your coming together is a large blanket that must be laid over all aspects of your life. You really believe that you must be identical in all of these areas, that you must like the same things and want the same things, and that is what smothers you. It is the belief that you must now overlay everything the same. And we say, that was never your intention. If you had intended that, you would have come as individual beings, not intending any other co-creation. You would have your sexual experience satisfying and fulfilling unto yourself. You would have it in your dream state, so to speak. You came together as co-creators, wanting the experience of awakening in one another different things, but you did not come to be identical twins regarding all of these aspects, you see.
Well, I still think we're talking about two different things, marriage and sexuality.
Then we are talking about two different things, life and sexuality. In other words, you are the liver of your life.
Which one do you put within the other?
We did not hear.
Which one do you put within the other, sexuality within life?
Sexuality within life. Physical experience, and sexuality is one aspect of my physical experience. Interacting in work is one aspect of my physical experience. My own relationship with myself is part of my physical experience. What more?
Going back to, given the fact that we're, to some degree, or at least I won't speak for everybody, for myself, that I still hold some blocks of thought or some core beliefs that probably I'm not even aware of that deal with sexual repression or guilt or shame. You know, in as much as some of those things may still shape my life because they're part of my belief system, what would be the optimum way to address those, take them out of my life?
You are stuffed full of beliefs. In order to bring them forth, all that is required is that you make a statement of what you want. In the moment of making the statement of what you want, two things happen. First thing, your guidance system is awakened. Second thing is that everything that is within you regarding the subject begins to surface. And as it surfaces to your consciousness, you will have an emotional response to it. As you have a negative emotion and you realize that it is relative to a sexual thought and you are feeling negative emotion about it, then that is the culprit. That is the conflicting belief that is keeping you from what you want. You can make a general statement. I am wanting to know myself fully, satisfyingly, and sexually. I'm wanting to experience the ultimate sexual beingness. Now, you cannot bring forth any sort of deviant behavior when you have all of these other intentions to be uplifter, to be a value to the planet and to the world. And so, there you are, you've made the decision, and then let us say that you are walking down a street and you see a young woman and you are stimulated to some sexual urge. If you are following the feeling of joy, You would not grab her and take her off into the bushes, because that would bring very strong negative emotion within. Are you understanding what we are saying? You may trust the guidance that comes forth from within. Just make more statements of what you are wanting. That is the key. What more?
Did you get your question in? I thought you had your hand up.
What is the time?
We have about 4 more minutes.
Be very quick about it.
Who's that?
Okay. Abraham, I was involved in a religious activity for 3 years that taught that spiritual beings do not have physical contact, do not make love, and they liken the body.
Spiritual beings do not have physical bodies. It is a very good observation.
that we in our physical...
You have a physical body.
Yes, I do. But for 3 years, I pretended I didn't. Because they likened the body to a battery, and they said that by having sexual contact with another, that in effect you discharged and you wasted energy.
The only way that you discharge or waste energy is when you are focused upon lack of what you are wanting. You are infused with the energy of the universe, and as long as you are focused upon what you are wanting, the infusion of energy continues. There is nothing more powerful than a sexual experience where you are focused upon what you are wanting and experiencing it fully. That is the ultimate in life experience or sexual experience or any sort of experience. What discharges your battery or what causes the loss of energy is giving your thoughts in two directions. When you do something that violates a belief, that is the discharging of energy. When you say, I want this, but I shouldn't do it, that is sending your energy in two opposing directions, and that is very deflating. And so we are in agreement with that philosophy to the extent of it is important for you to identify what you want and then be inspired only to that which makes you feel good. And if you are having sexual experience and you are feeling extremely guilty about it for whatever reason, then the experience is not of value to you. Then you are draining your energy. But if you are having sexual experience and you are feeling very good about it, then the power of the universe is behind you. You are following?
Yes, I am.
Indeed. Speak very quickly and then we will wrap it up. You have 14 seconds.
Well... if I had known 25 years ago what I have just learned here today, but I came from the exact situation that you were talking about, growing up in the small community where everything is no-no, right down to the fact that your only responsibility in life is to get married, have kids, and obey your husband. And that is even what my marriage vows were. You will love, honor, cherish, and obey this man for the rest of your life. Boy, if I had known that then, I'd have run so fast.
Let us offer you the perfect coming together vows, whether you are calling them marriage or whether you are calling them something else. Hello, friend. We are here as co-creators, and it is my expectation as we move forward in this marriage or in this relationship that both of us will find ourselves satisfied in every way that is possible. It is my wanting to find out who I am and to discover who you are, but most important to me is that I be happy so that in my happiness I can radiate some of it out to maybe inspire some happiness in you. I do not take your life as my responsibility. I take my life as my responsibility, and I am looking forward to a very good time here. I am anticipating that as we move forward in this life together, that we will have the ultimate in all positive experience, because that is what I intend to look for. As long as we're having a good time, let's stay together. And if we should stop having a good time, let us separate, either in thought or in physicalness.
Well, and as a result...
Until negative do us part. Now, you have much control about whether you part or whether you just take your attention from the tar baby, you see. We're not wanting to inspire you to all dismember or disassemble your marriages. What we're encouraging you to do is to look for the positive aspects and attract more of that forth.
Well, and at that point, there were no positive aspects because everything around me was negative. After 16 years of misery, I broke and left the whole situation.
It is good, and you could have done it much sooner.
Yeah, I should have.
We've enjoyed very much this interaction, and it seems by virtue of the clock that we are now complete.
We certainly are.
What is next?
This concludes the dialogue on sexuality and sensuality. For additional Abraham Hicks teachings, visit our website at www.abraham-hicks.com or call us at 755-2299, area code 830, or you can write to us at Post Office Box 690-070, San Antonio, Texas. Our zip code is 78260.